Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Resilience Talk with Brad Neufeld. Today, we're going to talk about narcissism. That's a big topic. We're going to talk about that because of our guest that's in here today, Madison Frederick. She is a number one international best-selling author, and you guys are going to love this. I'm so glad you're tuning in. She is the author of Untangle the Web of Narcissism, From Deceit and Chaos to Finding Your Sanity, and we're going to talk about her book today. This is a number one bestseller in several different countries, in the U.S., Canada, Australia, and France in 57 categories. Madison is also a speaker, teacher, and certified master life coach, Reiki master, certified spiritual counselor, and certified emotional freedom technique practitioner. And I want to talk about that a little bit today. Since the age of 20, Madison has been dedicating every decade to upgrading her mindset and has shifted her perspective on life and found peace within herself. She recognizes the need to release past stress, anxiety, self-doubt, and self-sabotage. And that goes for pretty much everybody. That's a lot of the things that are holding us back that we talk about here on the show all the time. She has adapted the lessons that she's learned to help others transform their lives as well, and recognizing the significance of doing all we can to promote healthy brain health through nutrition and to be the optimal best that we can be and help people overcome trauma in their life. Madison, thank you so much for being on here today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, this is exciting to have you in here today because this is something that I believe it or not, I get a lot of requests, people asking me about this, and here's the expert right here. So please tell us a little bit. Where did this all come from? Tell us just a little bit about your life. What happened to lead you to where you're at right now?
Well, part of the reason why when I started writing the book, I wanted to draw attention to what narcissism actually is and what gaslighting is. In 2022, in 2022, Merriam-Webster pointed out that gaslight or gaslighting was the number one requested definition for. And in the things that I talk about today, I want to totally make clear that these are based on my experiences and my experiences only. And narcissism, as any of the isms, are not necessarily black and white. There's colors and shades of gray throughout all of it. And my dad was a narcissist, and I didn't even realize it, the name, until I started writing this book. I knew since my early 20s that I was going to write a book. Had no idea what it was going to be about. At one time, I thought my son and I were going to co-author a book, and that didn't work out. But when I stepped into Al-Anon, the 12-step group, is when I really started to understand all of the things that I had gone through my whole life. I knew my dad was controlling. I knew he could never admit he was right. There was always an excuse of why he did or said or whatever. But I didn't understand narcissism until after, about 15 years ago or so, my son sent me an email that's actually the first chapter in the book.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
And the title is Email Bombshell. And it was just that for me. I received the email, and it was as if the rug had pulled out from underneath me because he accused me of being a narcissist. And I was dumbfounded, as you can imagine, receiving that email. And because of that email, I did a little bit of a nosedive and mentally, and didn't do very well. I did what a lot of people do, is try and, well, I'll just keep busy over doing this other activity and it'll be fine, and so on and so forth. The sad part about it is that I'd already been through therapy many years and did not recognize all of those things. So the value of the book for me has been writing it. The first one or two drafts were very cathartic for me. And I learned a lot about myself because in Al-Anon was the, well, first off, let me back the bus up a little bit. When I went into Al-Anon, the first meeting, I went dragging my heels, kicking and screaming inside. I did not want to go there because my ex-husband was a narcissist and a drinker. And after we got divorced and somebody suggested I go to Al-Anon, I was like, why am I going?
Why?
Yeah, I'm not the alcoholic here. Mm-hmm. But the very first meeting I went to here in Salt Lake, there was a gentleman celebrating his getting his 5-year chip. And for those of you who don't know, that recognize or signifies that the person has been sober for that many years. So it's a big deal. So he was telling a story, and I sat way in the back of the room. You know, I don't know. I didn't know if I thought people it was going to rub off on me or what. I don't know. But I sat in the back and I was listening to this gentleman speak, and I'm like, I don't understand this because I'm relating to everything he's talking about in his story, and I know I'm not an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. So what the, you know?
Yeah, what's he saying?
Yeah. So. And somebody approached me afterwards and told me a little bit about why Al-Anon does what it does and invited me to a meeting the next day in Al-Anon. And that began my journey of my official journey of recovery. I had been doing things, but it was all the surface stuff. You know, all the surface recognition that I have. So I learned about enabling codependency and those kinds of issues right off the bat. And I was able to go back then and start dissecting my life and what I'd been doing or hadn't done, what I did or didn't say and all those kinds of things. And after I received the email is when I would really started digging into why could he think I'm a narcissist? Mm-hmm. What have I done or said or did or didn't do that would make him believe that?
Mm-hmm. Well, in your working with people over the years, do you find that their experience is similar to yours, that people don't ever stop and say, you know, maybe I need to do some changing here? How often do you see that?
Not very often, at mm-hmm. least from the initial get-go when I work with people. Mm-hmm. You know, I had a client come in and she was wanting some help with her attitude and her mindset about why she didn't believe she was capable of getting a better job and more financial independence. And whenever I work with somebody, I do kind of like a little mini interview with them to see where they're at and all those kinds of things. And what ended up, the result ended up being is that all of that belief system within her, and I also believe that anything that we go through remains with us, good or bad, happy, sad, whatever, remains in our bodies on a cellular level.
Wow.
So all of these feelings.
That's huge. I think people should listen to what she's saying, folks. it's there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Okay.
And so after working with her, come to find out it all stemmed from when she was in high school.
Yeah.
And a girl had bullied her. Mm-hmm. And so we went back through that incident of when she was bullied, and it was a huge relief for her. And then she was able to take a look at some of the other things that have grown out of that belief that she wasn't good enough, smart enough, and all of those enoughs. So
yeah. And so you'd made the decision, okay, this is what I'm going to do. What was your first step to taking care of yourself? And do you find that as well, that a lot of people think, well, this is just what I've noticed because I had the same thing happen to me. So I know I love helping people. And to me, that was my out. That was my drug of choice. I loved helping people and seeing them go through the transitions and going from where they are to something spectacular. And then after a while, I'm all used up and I'm sitting here going, nobody's here for me. Where is everybody? I mean, do you see that a lot? Did people just don't take the time to work on themselves?
I think that's part of it, but I think the bigger chunk of that is the awareness. They're not aware of the fact that they need help or in a specific direction. You know, so if your car breaks down and you're non-mechanical, such as I am, you know, you look at it and say, well, you know, is it the carburetor? Is it this? Is it that? Or is it something else? And you get those things fixed. But you need to pull back and look and see what caused that malfunction in the first place. You know?
Yeah.
Did you put enough gas in it? Did you change your oil? Did you go for your yearly checkups or however? You know, did you do all of those things? And it's the same thing with people. If we don't do self-care, and I'm not talking about taking a bubble bath with, you know, essential oils and all of that kind of stuff, which is great.
I was going to say, what?
Yeah, those things are all great. Yeah. But it's still necessary to take a look at yourself and, you know, question, you know, what is it about that? And that's what happened when I had that email. Mm-hmm. So initially when I started writing the book, I thought it was going to be about gaslighting because there's a lot of that going around and it's a buzzword.
Yeah. You know. Maybe we can explain that a little bit, but I don't know if most people know what gaslighting is.
Sure.
Would you mind giving us your interpretation of that?
Sure. The word gaslight actually stemmed from a movie in the 1940s that had been made. There was a play before that, and then it became a movie that had Ingrid Bergman, and I can't remember the actor's name, but the purpose of him, he found out that she was inheriting a chunk of wealth from her aunt after her aunt had just passed away. So he married her, and his end game goal was to get that money and, you know, take off. Okay. So he started doing things around the house, like turning off the gaslight lights.
Okay, yeah, so therefore, you know, okay.
Yeah, and she, and then say, well, you know, they're fine, it, you know. And he did things in the house to make noise. And of course she heard them, and well, what are you talking about? And the idea was for him to make her feel like and act crazy so he could put her in an institution and claim her wealth.
That is the best definition I've ever heard, Madison. That makes sense now.
Yeah.
Because I do see that a lot. So thus the narcissism, people are trying to, in a sense, control others. Is that kind of where the term narcissism comes from?
Well, I don't know where the term well, yeah. Actually, the there's a legend about the word narcissism that I think it was a turtle. I don't remember what creator, but there was an animal that went to a pond and saw its reflection. So it was all about that animal.
Gotcha.
But so narcissism and gaslighting quite often dovetail together. Mm-hmm. Not everybody that is gaslit, it isn't necessarily done by a narcissist. It could be a friend, it could be a relative. You know, there's a wide spectrum of that. Mm-hmm. But narcissists, you know, it's all about them. My second chapter of the book is about my dad, and the title of it is He, Himself, and Him.
Yeah, I saw that, He, Himself, and Him. So I'm glad you're bringing that up, because I was going to bring it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So this was going on. How do people, or what advice can you give to people to help them recognize this, both in themselves and the outside world, that that's happening to them?
Well, I think people have to be aware of the fact that all of us have narcissistic tendencies. Mm-hmm. All of us. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean we're a narcissist.
Right.
But, you know, I tell a story about how When we meet people, we form opinions right off the bat, right? Yeah. And if someone happens to be very confident, they enjoy what they're doing, all of those kinds of things, if someone meets them for the first time and has a low self-esteem, it can appear to that the low self-esteem person, oh, well, they just think they're all that in a bag of chips.
Yeah.
You know, and they're conceited and they're because it's a way of making ourselves feel not
like that.
Yeah.
Like them. Okay.
Yeah. So that's kind of a piece of it.
Okay.
And, you know, throughout history, there's been a lot of world leaders that are narcissists. Mm-hmm. that have actually thought of a plan to dominate people. Not all narcissists do that. Some of their motives are just to make themselves feel better and more important.
Right.
But when we're talking some of the world leaders like Hitler and some of the others, and it goes back, you know, many
years.
Centuries. Yeah, mm-hmm. Right?
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Marcus Aurelius. I mean, yeah, it goes way back.
Yeah. But in Hitler's particular case, he actually conspired with, came up with this plan of how to accomplish world domination. I mean, the Nazi Party wasn't just, voila, it's here. It had been building for many, many years.
Yeah.
He was rejected or didn't do well in an art school.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. And that was all before he wrote Mein Kampf.
Mm.
So, you know, there's a history of all of that. And when he started his campaign, not just against Jews, but a lot of other nationalities, it was very, the things that he did was very strategic. And not only just to control the country, but it was also to control people's minds. It was a very psychological intention on his part. So the book burning, you know, people got horrified. They burned all of these books. Mm-hmm. Right? But he did that partially because of the psychological reasons. Because if you're told you're a creep or whatever, even if you on some level know that that's not true, it still stays in your brain. Like I said, the cellular level of stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, he used that technique very well.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of narcissists now that I've known, their end game was just to make themselves feel worthy and important. Mm-hmm. And the only way a lot of those kinds of people know how to do it is to put other people down, shame them, make them feel embarrassed, those kinds of things, to make themselves look better.
Wow. So what do you suggest that now that a person can recognize it and they see like they're in a relationship, how do they get out of it or how do they start the process? Because, I mean, obviously to me the easy answer would be just get out. But is there a way of working with it at all?
There is. And keep in mind that if you're in a relationship with a narcissist that happens to be a relative,
ooh,
you know, you've got family dynamics coming
okay.
into play.
Yeah, I hadn't even
you've got family
thought of that.
Events and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to not be their relative. You don't quit being their niece or their whatever. You know, that stays. That's a fact. But what you can do is take a look at the situation and maybe take a look and see how you reacted and what kind of behaviors you did or said that kept you hooked in. You know, most people, when they're criticized or whatever, most people go on the attack and get defensive. So the key for me was to, when I started looking into what narcissism is, and okay, so how did my son come to that conclusion that I am? So I looked at all of the woulda, shoulda, couldas, the things that I could have done better or differently or not at all. You know, those things came into focus, and I was able to pull back enough to see, yeah, I didn't do some things so great.
Okay, so all of this was happening in your life. When did you decide? You said you knew you would write a book at the age of 20, or you had a feeling you would. You just didn't know what it was. At what point did you say, this is important. I have something here that I can teach others, and that's the book here. So how did that all take us through that? When did you make that decision of this is the time?
Well, like I mentioned, I thought the book was going to be all about gaslighting.
Mm-hmm.
And I met with a friend of mine that has a long background in journalism.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay, I've got this idea to write a book about gaslighting, but given all of the options and opportunities to be involved with the authorship of the book, do I write it myself? Do I get a writing coach? Do I hire a ghostwriter? You know, those kinds of things. And after we had that conversation, I realized that I needed to get a writing coach. I mean, I had never written before, and grammar and those kinds of things were never my forte, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and within 1 week, three different people, unsolicited, told me about the woman that I hired as my coach, Bridget Cook Birch, and she is amazing.
Mm.
So I signed up to go to a writer's retreat with her, and she likes you to submit a sample of your writing to see skill, style, those kinds of things. And it may not make a whole lot of sense to people, but typically a publisher wants a manuscript that has 60 to 80,000 words on it. Mm-hmm. Well, when I showed up to the retreat, I had actually written about 37,000 words. Now, I didn't submit all 37,000 words, but I get there, and in part of the retreat, you do a one-on-one with Bridget. And I just have so much respect for the lady. But we're doing this one-on-one, and she says, well, you know, typically speaking, people that write a memoir like what you're proposing to do, unless you have a huge story, like somebody leaving the FLDS church like Rebecca Musser or something like that, or you're a celebrity, you know, people don't necessarily, you know, why am I going to read this book, right? So she looked at me and she said, well, how many, have you ever thought about writing a self-help book? Because you've got a lot of skills.
Yeah.
I mean, she knew some of the things that I do. And I just, it was like deer in the headlights. I'm like, oh, well, how many words does that take?
Yes. Is it going to be like 700 to 800 pages?
And the answer was 60 to 80,000 words.
Wow. Okay.
And I'm like, ah.
Oh,
and
man.
I could feel my energy just, I have to start all over and, you know, all the blah, blah, blah. And she's known as the book whisperer, and that is very apropos because she gently guided me and led me to where I needed to be. So when I actually started writing this book, it was very cathartic for me. I talk about a lot of the learned behaviors that I picked up, and living with a narcissist for the first 18 years of my life, those are tools that I used for coping. You know, to protect myself. So then I left the fire and jumped into the frying pan when I married my first husband,
okay.
who not only was a narcissist, but was also an alcoholic. And so you know, I wrote the chapters, and not necessarily, I didn't write them in the order that they landed up being in the book, because like I said, the book was very cathartic for me. So when something came up, that like my enabling, for instance, that came up and I was writing on that, it also spurred memories of other things that I had done to survive. So the book, the order of the chapters and things, I didn't start with chapter one and work my way through to the 18th chapter. It came in pieces. And as I continued to write, I continued to continue to edit myself, and as I did that, more information and more stuff came up. The chapter about my son and the email didn't happen until almost the very end.
Really?
I was not going to include that because I didn't want to throw anybody under the bus. You know, even my dad, you know, when the first couple drafts, I did nothing but, well, you did that, so I did this. There was a lot of justification. So the biggest learning tool that I teach, or what I realized really was that I had justified everything I said or did, just like my dad. Mm-hmm. There was an incident that happened with my granddaughter, and I write about that in the book, but my reaction, when my son told me about this, my reaction was, well, you know, everybody's purse is out loose, and, you know, it's not my fault. And I did not respond very well, not at all. Not my stellar moment. But looking back on that, I can see the words were here, but I could not say, I'm sorry, or what can we do? That was not in my wheelhouse at the time, at all.
Yeah.
And that came through writing the book.
Wow. So in a sense, this was therapeutic in its own.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, to get that all out there. And so then you turned this book, or you were doing this actually before the book, correct? Where you're working with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, tell us about what you do, because I'd like to know a little bit more about this emotional freedom technique, the EFT. I've heard about it.
Yeah.
What is that exactly?
Fantastic.
Is it? Okay. You heard it here, folks.
it really saved my bacon, truthfully. Mm. When I first learned about it, you know, as you know how you get feeds in your Facebook feed and for this, that, and the other, and I saw something that Nick Ortner of the Tapping Solution fame had written about, and I thought, this is pretty interesting. So I looked into it. And what it is that when our bodies go into fight or flight, you know, if we're fearful or if we're feeling an emotion that's very uncomfortable, cortisol is up and ready. You know, it's going to come in and save the day.
That creates the...
Yeah, so the fight or flight.
Adrenaline or the...
Oh, yeah, the fight or flight.
Fight or flight.
What tapping does when you're working through a particular issue, say, for instance, you're in a car accident and you've got trauma from that, right? Mm-hmm. So when you think about it, if you haven't done any work on it, when you think about it, that recreates that cortisol. And what happens is you have a mind-body connection with that. And what tapping does is help you kind of relive the situation, but you can reframe it. So you talk about the negative side of things, but then you say, well, maybe I can get through this. Maybe it is okay. Maybe I am safe. And that actually is when the mind-body connection ceases to exist. That's not to say that it won't come up again, but for me, anytime it did, it was lesser intensity.
And so what recommendations would you have for people? Okay, they see they're in these situations. I mean, obviously they can give you a call, and we'll definitely give information on how they can get a hold of you here before the end of the podcast.
Right.
So what do you recommend to people when they see it? Do you have them stop and more or less assess? I know we've kind of talked that, stop for a minute and say, all right, what I see this happening. What's the best thing for me to do? Or how do you suggest somebody start getting help for this?
There's a lot of information on the internet. There's on YouTube, actually. Mm-hmm. A gentleman by the name of Brad Yates has got, I think he's up to like 1,000 videos or some humongous amount. And he takes people through all kinds of different situations. On my website, people have the opportunity to click a download to show specific where the tapping points are, and then I take them through a round on my YouTube channel, which and the subject that I used as a demonstration was about creativity, and how if someone asks you, well, can you create this document or whatever, I'm not creating.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, it feeds into a lot of different things, and I wanted to choose something that was fairly neutral, if you will, so that people could get a taste of what tapping is about.
Okay. Yeah, because I'll definitely be researching that for sure, because I know a lot of the trauma that I had growing up, because I like how you have your certified master life coach and the Reiki master. There were some people that I ran into that, because I had severe depression at one time, was very suicidal, so trust me, I understand what it feels like, how it hurts in every part of your body and everything. And when I finally found that alternative source to the other therapies I was getting, it was like, oh my gosh, thank you. Thank you to my higher power and everything for leading me to that.
Right, exactly.
And so the key is, though, would you say that there is help for no matter your circumstances?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. And in the book, I talk about other things besides EFT tapping. I talk about my journey of learning from John Bradshaw about the inner family systems. So there's a section in there about automatic writing, where you can utilize that tool to do some healing from your inner child. You know, there's a ton of resources, and there isn't one way, one road to get to where you're going.
Okay.
And with the book, the thing that I like about the book, or where I was led to create the book, because a lot of it isn't from me per se, but is that you can take any piece of tool and utilize what works for you. And then sometimes I recommend that people go back, use this as a resource, you know, and go back through and look at different areas of your life. Not everybody that has been raised by a narcissist or in a narcissistic relationship has sexual abuse. Not everybody has gaslighting. Not everybody has abandonment. Not everybody has estrangement. But the reality is, all of those emotions and stressors affect all of us, regardless of what the source of that trauma is. So you know, people can pick and choose, and if tapping doesn't work, or if it works and you want to try something else, to fine tune, because healing is not done in one fell swoop.
No, and people need to understand that. I just call it the TikTok world. We're in the TikTok world. Everybody's expecting cure in 30 seconds, and it's like, oh, you know, enough of that. You know, things take time.
Well, it's kind of, if you look about like when a baby's born, you know, when it comes into the world, it doesn't automatically know how to sit up, crawl, walk, all those kinds of things. They learn those things in layers, and that's the same way it is with healing for most people.
Yeah. Okay. So it does take time, so be sure to work through it. So how can people get a hold of you? Because I highly recommend it. Again, if you feel like you're in a circumstance, as my audience knows this, don't wait. Take, you know, get help. You don't have to live in the bubble that you're in. You can break out of it. And so definitely, if this is something that Madison has rang a bell with here today, reach out. And how would they do that? How do they find you?
My website is madisonfrederick.com. Mm-hmm. The book can be purchased on Amazon.
Mm-hmm. And again, this is what it looks like. Everybody will get a nice little shot of it here.
And right now it's available on ebook, soft cover, hard copy, and it should be available on Audible within the next two weeks.
Awesome.
So.
Fantastic. So that's coming. Madison, this has been one last thing I'd like to touch on. We were talking about something just before, and as my audience knows, we do everything we can to stay away from politics here. There's just so much contention, and that's not what we're all about. But yet, in a sense, our world, in a sense, is trying to control us, and that's just a big thing for me. Enough, you know. We have enough as in common as human beings. Let's work together and help each other out here.
Yeah.
So talk about that a little bit, because that was fascinating what you were talking about.
Oh, I think there's has been a shift in energy. My belief is that everything is energy.
Yes.
You know, everything. And, you know, the molecules bounce against each other and create the sound and the level of intensity. So, you know, it's been proven that different tones of music can resonate at a lower frequency, and there's also music available that raises the vibration up, so it helps people raise their vibration. You know, you hear about listening to certain radio frequencies, and I talk about that in the book, how you can utilize those to help yourself. But I think recently I've learned a lot about still self-reflection, still looking at myself. That'll never stop. But I've realized that because of things are the way in there, they are on the planet. I'll just give you an example. When COVID hit, I went into a deep dive into the conspiracy theory stuff, and you know, who did what to who, and all of those kinds of things, and who was responsible. And I stayed in there for a couple of weeks at least, and I recognized within myself that energetically, I was not doing myself a favor at all. Mm-hmm. So surprisingly enough, how I got out of that was through TikTok.
Nice.
I scrolled past all of the opinions and all that stuff, but I focused on the humor that TikTok brought.
Okay, yeah, is a lot of that on there for sure.
So, you know, the dogs and cat stories where the dog bumps into the wall and, you know, whatever. You know, those kinds of things. And that really lifted me energetically. Mm-hmm. So what I think is important for me that I did in my case is that I've had opinions, and past COVID and look at things that are happening today, I've had opinions about certain politicians or certain this or that. And I've realized that I've been contributing emotionally, energetically to all of that. Mm. And what can I do as just me, myself, and I is to take a look at what I can do to raise my vibration and give to the planet instead of taking away or adding to the negativity.
Awesome.
So I learned many years ago about Hawaiian prayer. It's called Ho'oponopono, and it's a simple process. There's three sentences that you say, and you focus on whatever it is you're trying to focus on. So in my case, I focused on Mr. Blue.
Okay.
You know, and so I went through the Ho'oponopono, and that is, I'm sorry, please forgive me, I love you, I thank you. And really feel into those words. Mm-hmm. You know, set the intention for myself that I want to move past my negative energy against Mr. Blue. And it's surprising. I was like, seriously? That works?
Yes.
You know.
It obviously did.
Yeah. So even though I still have opinions about Mr. Blue and I don't agree with what is or isn't done, I don't have to pack that energy and promote it on the planet anymore.
Fantastic.
And that's kind of like it is with the things that I've worked on in my book. It's the same thing. I still remember my sexual abuse, but I don't have the angst with it anymore. Yeah. The emotions are healed. And that's why I wrote the book, to help people have a shortcut.
And that's one thing I feel about the book is me reading through it is you're definitely on a mission to make this world a better place.
Absolutely.
So let's join together. Can we all be as one here?
I pray for that.
Listen, well, you've come to the right place because that's what we talk about all the time. But no, this is awesome. This is awesome, Madison. Thank you so much. And so do you have any final thoughts for everyone out there? Again, our guest today is Madison Frederick. She's the author of the book Untangle the Web of Narcissism, From Deceit and Chaos to Finding Your Sanity. And the link to this book is down at the bottom. Get your copy, folks. You don't have to live in the circumstances that you're in. Change your mind. Everything else in your life will change. And I'm sure Madison will validate that for us.
Absolutely.
Here. So, please, what are some final thoughts you can leave with people?
I think the biggest thing is that when we start looking at ourselves and looking at our character defects, if you will, I don't look at it as a character defect per se. I look at it as life experiences. And we do things that maybe aren't so stellar, and that's okay when we become aware of those things. You know, we can take a look at those and do some work, whatever modality or whatever you use. But the biggest thing is when you do start that process, please be kind to yourself. And don't beat
Great
yourself
advice.
Up.
Great advice.
You just, you know, we're human. We're living a human experience on the planet right now. And cut yourself some slack. Even if you did things or didn't do things or said something or didn't say something, whatever the case may be, cut yourself some slack.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well said. Thank you so much, Madison. Appreciate you coming in today.
I am so grateful because the more podcasts or the more speeches I give, the better it is to spread hope.
Here.
I went through all that stuff, and I believe that my higher power, God, who I choose to call God, put me on the planet to live through all of these things. Yes, I've been through a whole truckload of stuff, but I think it was the purpose is so that I can experience and share the hope that if I can get through all of that crap, anybody can.
Yeah, awesome. Well said. So if Madison can do it, you can too. Thank you again. Again, our guest today has been Madison Frederick. She is the author of this awesome book right here, Untangle the Web of Narcissism. You can get your copy by down below here in the link that you see. Also, go to Madison's website. Again, if you're feeling these things, don't wait. You don't have to live another day like that. Let the healing begin. It takes some time. As we talk about on here all the time, it takes time. So, gosh, what a wonderful interview we've had today. And guys, tune in. Be sure and listen to this podcast here as many times as you need to get the message that's coming across here. It's been wonderful. I can just feel the spirit here in the studio today. This has been awesome. So keep us tuned in here at ResilienceTalkNetwork.com. Check us out on our website. Or if you're watching us on YouTube, be sure and hit the subscribe button and tap on the bell so you'll be able to get even more information that as it comes out here. So guys, as always, until we meet again, go for everything that you want in life and make it happen.